This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This Adam Gase could be the worst coach in the history of New York sports. It is shaping up to be that. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing okay. He's lucky that he's doing Zoom calls and not in person with these reporters. This would be, I mean, it's bad. It's about as bad as it gets. It looks bad. It feels bad. It looks inept. He looks inept. He looks like he's a beaten man. You know, at least at the end of his tenure in Miami, he was still fighting on the way out. You know, he was arrogant. He was in your face. He had thought that he had known more football than you or I combined, and you know, and it came off that way.
Yeah.
And you know, from the first day that he was here until yesterday, it has been nothing but a downhill slide. It has been, you know, forget the football on the field. The football on the field is a disgrace. But it's a lot of young guys trying to play, and you know, Sam trying to figure his way out if they haven't ruined him already. But the fact is the head coach is the perception of your team. And that's why I think people like Joe Judge. You know, Joe Judge has had a lot of crap to deal with as well. And he was a first-year head coach coming into a pandemic-led season. And his team is 4-7. They're in first place right now, depending on what happens with Philadelphia tonight. If Philadelphia either ties, I guess, or loses, then you will have the Giants in first place in the NFC East, which is amazing, which is really amazing when you think about it. But it's not really about the record. It's about how the man carries himself. It's about how he talks to the fans. It's about the perception that we have as of him as, you know, in the media.
Well, it's the way the team plays, too.
Yeah, and it also is about the way the team plays. So I can't – like the double-digit losses speak volumes. They say all that needs to be said. Nothing else needs to be said. Now, I do agree with you. I don't think they should fire him. If they want the number one draft pick and they want Trevor Lawrence – there's no reason to fire him because this team is a dead team walking.
And the Jaguars continue to lose. They play tough, but they continue to lose.
Dude, this, and you know, and they fired their GM yesterday too. But I'm just telling you, this. I wasn't a part of the 1-15 season under Rich Kotite. I was not. I was part of that 3-13 debacle the year before when they cleared house. They basically got rid of everybody except me. And I, you know, there were a lot of young players and they were trying to rebuild the roster. And they, you know, we knew that it was going to be a tough season. At least I knew it was going to be a very, very tough season. And it was not an easy season to play in. The next year, they spent $80 million on free agency. They brought in Neil O'Donnell as their starting quarterback. He gets hurt, I think, in week one. And everything goes downhill from there. I mean, that team was pathetic. And that's where Richie, you know, talks about how he is no genius. You try to compare the two eras or the two coaching tenures of the coaches. This present team right now looks about as lost and as about as bad as I've ever seen.
Yeah, now we didn't really watch every game that the Browns, when they went 0-16, the Lions went 0-16. I wasn't there in those cities watching every one of those games. I just know for my money, of all the teams that I've followed in my life, I mean, this is an easy one. It's by far the worst team I've ever seen. And for Adam Gase to say earlier in the week, you're finally going to get to see what this offense was supposed to look like with everybody healthy, meaning Sam Darnold playing and those wide receivers being healthy, and coming out and scoring 3 points against the Dolphins, a team that shut you out last time when you weren't healthy. 3 points, as many points as the Denver Broncos scored when they had a running back and a third-string wide receiver who came off the practice squad and was told he was playing Saturday night playing quarterback.
Against the Saints, right. By the way.
The Jets scored as many points in the NFL yesterday as that team. And this is Adam Gase saying, you're finally going to get a chance to see that offense. And this guy tried to squirm out of it in the post-game press conference. Now, I know everybody says, get rid of him now. Look at all these other teams. They fire Matt Patricia and the GM also in Detroit. And there's coaches getting fired all over the place. Don't do it. Don't. Because look at the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons got some juice. Look at the Houston Texans. They got some juice by firing their head coach. You want to go 0-16, you got to let this happen. And the players that are on this roster right now are going through hell. And it sucks for them. But they are the sacrificial lambs that's going to get you Trevor Lawrence and get you into the next era of Jets football that hopefully isn't anything like this.
Well, you know, the thing, too, is I don't know how he walks in front of that team. I really don't. I don't know how he can walk in front of that team and those men that wear those uniforms and go to fight for him every day can actually look at him seriously, especially with the avalanche of negative criticism that has come his way over the last 6 weeks. I mean, it's been an avalanche. I mean, and this is like, I tell people all the time, and I'll never forget when Frank Reich, you know, he goes in there and he interviews for the job with Todd Bowles. And I'm like, man, I hope you don't get this job. I hope you don't get it. I said, because if there's one wrong turn, if there's four bad weeks, this is what it gets to. And it gets ugly. And it just gets, it gets personal. And it gets heated. And it gets tense. And this is, and like I said before, he's lucky that he doesn't have to deal with this person to person. He doesn't have to deal with the scrum of reporters that see the blood in the water and have seen the blood in the water for the better part of 2 months. You know, they know it. They feel it. They see it. And, you know, and I think the questions reflected that yesterday. You have to understand, the reporters are standing there watching Dowell Loggins. They're watching him.
Yeah.
Just to only see whether or not he's calling the plays or not. I mean, they're supposed to be watching the game. They're watching the coaching staff and how the coaching staff is interacting. That's... I mean, like, most coaches don't deal with that. I mean, I'm sure most, you know, the coaches around the league that are losing, like I don't know, like a Matt Nagy out in Chicago. Like, are you calling the plays? Aren't you calling the plays? I mean, you hired him because he was supposedly a good play caller, a good play designer. The same thing I would say for Adam Gase. But this is how minute it gets here.
Well, they think he's lying. They don't trust him. That's
right.
the other thing.
Well, and now they're looking to catch him in a lie.
And they did.
And they're trying to make him look like an idiot, which he does. And it's just basically at a point now where it's just a matter of when, not if. And I'm with you. I mean, like, honestly, the Jets need a enema is what they need. And they're going to have to clear out this entire coaching staff, which I hate to say because I know how hard it is to do what they do. I know how much time and effort they put into it. But in reality, it's still a business. It's, you know, if a Broadway play is a great Broadway play, if it's Cats, it will last 25 years. And, you know, you'll have a full cast and the producers and the directors and the grips and everybody behind the scene.
Sure.
Will have a hit on their hands and they'll have a career in one particular spot. You know, that's Bill Belichick. He's Cats for for the Patriots. If that thing after a week is not selling out, it has no buzz on Broadway, and it's getting panned by the critics,
it doesn't matter.
The lights are off. Everybody is out, and you got to start all over again.
TV shows too,
right? But that's gone. That's where the Jets are right now, with the exception of one person, and that one person is Joe Douglas.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing about the Jets, and people, you know, I know they have talked about it. I know we have talked about it. But I don't know what the influence of Woody Johnson is going to be in this whole mix when he comes back from Great Britain. As being, you know, for the last 4 years, he's the ambassador. Chris Johnson ran this team. Chris Johnson was the one that hired Adam Gase. Chris Johnson was the one that fired Mike Maccagnan. Chris Johnson was the one that allowed Mike Maccagnan to make the picks, the free agent signings, and all this other crap, and basically handed a pile of you-know-what to Joe Douglas and gave him 6 years to figure it out. I just have no idea if Woody Johnson and Christopher Johnson are going to go down that road again, and they're going to be looking for consultants and, you know, asking people who they should hire. And I'm telling you right now, the only reason why, if I were a coach, that I would want this job is is because of Trevor Lawrence. If Trevor Lawrence and the Jets have the number one draft pick, it's the reason I would want the job. That's the only reason I would want the
job.
So
this is what concerns me about where the Jets are going, because we saw the fallout from when they kept Mike Maccagnan and then hired Adam Gase. And then Mike Maccagnan was out the door a couple months later after the draft and free agency, and that set him back in a big way. So we know that. So now we all agree that the Jets can't go with an unknown head coach again. I don't believe that they can bring in a guy who's never been a head coach before. I just don't think that that's going to work. We've said it so many times. The Jets need to have another Parcells-like person step into the door. That's where you have to go first. You have to. That's the only time that they've ever had success in their recent history, is when that big alpha male, the buck stops here type of guy steps in. Now, can they find that guy in an assistant? Maybe. But they've tried that so many times and failed.
Rex Ryan was that assistant when he got here.
So that did happen with Rex Ryan. So could they find that guy? Is that guy out there potentially? But you know, if Joe Douglas is going to remain the GM, and we expect him to, regardless of what Woody thinks.
I want him to make the decision.
Right, but this is what I'm saying. The GM in those situations always picks a guy that they believe is going to be safe. So what I think we're going to get with the Jets again is another guy that Joe Douglas has a relationship with, and someone who isn't going to come in and plant his flag as this is my team.
So Joe Douglas has basically been with three organizations. He's been around, he's been around the Harbaugh family. Yeah, I'm not advocating Jim Harbaugh. And
in what way has he been around?
Down in Baltimore. He's been around down John Harbaugh. He's been around, he comes from Baltimore, comes from Philadelphia.
And comes
from Chicago for a year.
But it's not he's close with the Harbaughs. He just happened to work with them.
No, but the point being is he knows John. He has, and he knows the Baltimore coaching staff. He knows people like that. I mean, I was looking through these candidates, and as more of these teams are starting to fire their GMs and they're starting to fire their coaches, now all of a sudden, the Jets are going to have a GM. Mm-hmm. Joe Douglas is the guy. He has already made so far a lot of the moves that I already do like. I like jettisoning Jamal Adams because they wanted to pay Jamal. They wanted to keep him here, but Jamal tried to force their hand to pay him this year when they didn't have to. And he accepted a trade to Seattle where he isn't asking Seattle to pay him. So, I mean, he basically talked his way out of here, and Joe got a haul for him. So that was a good move, I thought, by Joe Douglas. But I also knew that it was going to hurt the team, and it did hurt the team. There's no question about that. In the short term, not in the long term. Joe Douglas is here for the long term. So my recommendation will always be to the ownership group, whoever it is, hire the guy, which is the GM, who is in charge of all football operations, and let him make the hire. He has got to make the hire. And they can't have a pathway, look, you're the owner. You can talk to the coach anytime you want. I just hope they allow Joe Douglas to be the guy that makes the decision and runs the freaking team. Then I'll give you a list of candidates that are out there. And then you can tell me who you think is going to be the next Kevin Stefanski. Okay, he's doing a hell of a job in Cleveland, which you're probably not very happy about. And I don't think Jet fans would have been happy about that hire. Or somebody like a Mike McCarthy, who in this cycle will be a Bill O'Brien, who went to the playoffs 4 out of the 5 years he was there and then got blistered because he traded DeAndre Hopkins. And it shows you that they don't need DeAndre Hopkins.
Sure, but there's so many examples to each way. There's the retread head coach that doesn't work. There's the coordinator that doesn't work. There's the coordinator that does work. There's a million different ways to go. But we have said so many times with the Jets that what needs to walk through that door is the unquestioned leader.
All right, so
now with the Giants, they did find that guy, it seems like, in Joe Judge. So you better find that guy, whoever it is, who's either got the experience or doesn't, because you can't have some other flimsy, jerk coming through here.
Right, so,
it's just not going to work.
Well, it looks kind of like the Carolina Panthers found that guy too, right?
Sure, yeah. And
Matt Rule and the Jets had him, but he couldn't hire his own coaching staff.
It's idiotic.
It's idiotic, right. So this is the point I'm saying. It comes down to who's doing the hiring and what they're going to allow the coach to do, right? You can't expect to hire a coach and say, here, this, I'm picking your defense coordinator, I'm picking your wide receiver. I mean, it's asinine.
Yeah.
It's absolutely asinine. So if they want to get on in on the early hiring cycle, Adam Gase will be let go the day after their last game against New England. He'll be let go, and they'll all be let go. And then it's up to Joe Douglas to go through his Rolodex of people that he has come across. And remember, they have to interview minorities. They have to interview all sorts of people in order to meet all the requirements that the NFL has for these organizations now. So guys like Eric Bieniemy should get an interview. There will be other, like a Rob Saleh, the defense coordinator from the San Francisco 49ers, will most likely get an interview, I would think. And then you're going to have retreads. You're going to have retreads out there. Some are going to excite you. Some aren't going to excite you. And he's got to go through this process. But with other teams moving relatively quickly, I would think that he's already got to be thinking and compiling names.
Well, what was the first thing you thought of when the Lions let go of Matt Patricia?
I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, I know, but why do you think that they did it before the season was over?
Well, I don't necessarily know that it has anything to do with trying to get back into the playoff.
Right. Well, I think it had to do with Jim Harbaugh. I think that it got, like, let's open this up to Jim Harbaugh, and he can stay here in Michigan, and he can be an NFL head coach again, and he doesn't have to go far, and he's got his roots here in this state, and he's going to become available because what's going on there with Michigan is a mess, and let's get a jump on him. That's the first thing that I thought.
It's another organization that continually gets it wrong for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think Harbaugh's going to come back to the NFL and be great again. I do. I think that he's an NFL head coach. I think he's better suited for the NFL, and I think that he is going to come back and be very good. He might wear out his welcome in 3 or 4 years again, like because he's so grating. But he will come back and have an immediate impact. And I would sign for him as my head coach immediately. In the NFL. In the NFL, I would. And I know all the reasons that people are going to counter that.
Let me ask you a question. If you think Adam Gase has got a chip on his shoulder, you haven't seen a chip on his shoulder until you see the boulder on Jim Harbaugh's shoulder.
I understand, but I've seen him have a lot of success outside of what's going on in Michigan.
But here's the thing. You know, in college, these coaches get to pick their players. They get to recruit their players. And here you have a former NFL head coach. Here you have a Super Bowl coach. Here you have a coach who's been very successful at a number of stops in college. And he can't develop one freaking quarterback in college?
Yeah.
He can't develop one guy in the most important position. So now if the Jets – I'm just trying to be a contrarian here and I'll give you another argument. If the Jets have the number one overall pick and they take Trevor Lawrence – you want Jim Harbaugh to coach that guy?
I do, because I'll look back at the examples in the NFL and say that Alex Smith was a nothing bust quarterback until Jim Harbaugh got his hands on him, and he went to an AFC title game. NFC title game. And then Colin Kaepernick comes in, had no success really after Jim Harbaugh.
And you know who his offense coordinator was?
Greg Roman, right?
Right, and where's Greg Roman now?
Greg Roman is with the Baltimore Ravens.
Right. What did Lamar Jackson win last year?
The MVP.
Right. How's he playing this year under the same offense, under the same situation?
He's not very good.
Right. Oh, okay. So, things come and go. You know, fads come and go. The Wildcat came and went. The run pass option crap, you know, that's out here that is somewhat successful. The quarterback running with the ball that is somewhat successful, but it's not going to win a Super Bowl. Just not going to win a Super Bowl. Well, you saw quarterbacks in Aaron Rodgers and, to some extent, Tom Brady last night. Of course, Patrick Mahomes. That's the way you're going to win a Super Bowl, right there. And, you know, it was very interesting. Yesterday, before the Indianapolis and Tennessee game, I thought Phil made an unbelievable point about the Tennessee Titans, and I didn't even think about it. I want to give him credit, and I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm giving him credit. He said, you know, Tennessee needs something more than just Derrick Henry and play-action passing. Like, when you watch the Kansas City Chiefs, if you want to beat them, you got to do something that's going to be perfectly – that needs to be special. And it's not going to be easy, no matter who the team is, Pittsburgh or Tennessee or Indianapolis or Cleveland or whatever teams make the playoffs. In order to beat Kansas City, you got to have another gear. And, like, Tennessee doesn't really have another gear. Indianapolis doesn't have another gear. Cleveland certainly doesn't have another gear.
Oh, it's going to be Steelers and Chiefs, and it's just a matter of can that Chiefs defense do enough to put them over the top. That's really what it's going to be.
You know, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about the perception about the NFL and COVID-19 and what is going on and why the Broncos played yesterday and why the Baltimore Ravens game has been pushed from Thursday to Sunday to Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I'll tell, because it seems and it feels unfair that the Broncos had to play, right?
I think I know what you're going to say, and I agree with everything the NFL has done. We do have Jerry Recco's update well, as he will give you all the Jets and Giants stuff. Coming up next, it's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just getting started on this Football Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.